Hey, you scruffy-looking nerf herders. Welcome to Records of the Republic, a podcast where we talk about all things Star Wars, from canon to the EU to Legends content and more. We are your hosts, Wade and Kevin, and we're going to make the jump to light speed as we try to tackle today's topic of conversation with you. Strap yourself in and don't get cocky as we embark on this journey together into the Star Wars universe.
Hey guys, welcome back to Records of the Republic. As always, my name is Wade Wilson, and I am Deadpool. Just kidding, I'm not Deadpool. But my name is Wade, and I do love Deadpool. Join with me today to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, Revenge of the Sith, May the 4th, all that fun stuff, is my good friend, Kevin. Kevin, how are you doing, man?
I'm okay. You had made that joke, the Wade Wilson joke, and I was going to roast you for doing it again, but then it occurred to me that this is probably our fourth attempt at an episode.
So, yes, it is.
It's the first time they're hearing it, so hopefully they laughed.
Well, between the episode that you and Alex tried recording, and then the episode after that, I can't remember what happened. Was it
the same as the last?
It was his audio.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the episode after that, last week's episode that we tried recording, my everything cut off for me. So I had to rejoin, and then like everything was messed up. His audio was completely off in timing from the two of ours, and I could not, even when I downloaded the three tracks, it was so hard to try and like edit and figure out not only where his meets in with ours, but also like where my break ended up happening, you know, it was a headache. It was a nightmare, not worth it. A lot of Bad Batch that we haven't been able to discuss, unfortunately, but there are a lot of great folks out there. I mean, Distant Echoes, FACPA, Detention Block, Scuttlebutt, like all you guys are out there, Hyperspace Heroes. I want to just try and name some, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to end up leaving some out. That's not cool. So, you know, there are a lot of great Star Wars podcasts that we're friends with that are out doing all these covers and breaking down the episodes. So we're not going to do that too much. We are going to talk a little bit about the finale and Bad Batch as a whole. We're also going to talk a little bit tonight about Tales of the Empire, which all six episodes released yesterday for May the 4th. We're going to talk about May the 4th itself. We're going to talk a little bit about the Phantom Menace. So, I mean, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Kevin, which would you like to dive into first?
Let's go Bad Batch.
All right, Bad Batch finale. What were your initial thoughts after like sitting down and watching it?
My initial thoughts are not that different than my current thoughts, but felt like a good season finale. But it left, as far as a series finale goes, it left me kind of like, huh, that's it. Now that's softened up a little bit, which we could talk about, but what were your initial thoughts?
I was definitely not expecting it to end the way it did. It was much more wholesome, like everyone comes home. I expected some kind of big, you know, tech-ish sacrifice for the team, for Omega. Super awesome. So I want to say Echo's a badass. Like,
yeah.
Echo is so dope. Like all the crap he's doing. Emery, fantastic. Glad she ended up flipping her mentality and really realizing she's working for the wrong side. But like when they're looking at the escape and then the Zillow Beast was released and everything, and Echo's like, that was Omega. And Emery's like, how do you know? And he's like, because that's what I would have done, you know? And it's like, yeah, that's awesome. And Omega, man, does she step up to the plate? I mean, she's not only worrying about her own escape, but she's saving these other Force-sensitive kids that have been trapped here. And, I mean, she is not the same Omega we saw in season one. I mean, wow, you want to talk about character development. Not to say, you know, obviously we got a lot of good character development with Crosshair. I would say Hunter, Wrecker, Tech, Echo, for the most part, stayed pretty on point with where they started with. Obviously, there's been some softening up and adjusting in life, but in terms of true character development, Omega's character has had a ton, and Crosshair has had quite a bit as well, specifically in this season. So I was pleasantly surprised by the ending.
It like, felt good.
It did. It was genuinely one of the, and then at the very end, when we get to see, you know, young adult Omega and old man Hunter, you know, sitting there with the graying beard and everything. Yeah. Man, I loved that. I absolutely loved that. Oh, so
pretty
so
universally
good.
Loved too. Everybody that yes. I've talked to has called that out specifically.
Well, I think a lot of us were genuinely expecting. I mean, they blew up the Marauder. We already lost Tech, and you know the way Wrecker was getting hurt. I mean, he was hurt bad working through this.
He went beast mode though.
Dude's
that
awesome.
Was such a cool part.
And seeing them face, I think, what would have been like the experimental clones, or you know, I'm going to call them, you know, phase one death troopers, because I think after this episode we really get an idea that that's probably
you mean dark troopers.
Dark troopers, yes. Not the death troopers, like the really cool looking stormtroopers, but the robot dark troopers from Mandalorian. I think these are phase one dark troopers. Like the way they're being held in these like cryo chambers, and then like they have to be awakened and the helmet drops on top and activates them and everything. Like I get dark trooper 100% from that. I mean, just looking at the powering up scene, like how yeah. they have to be activated. Look at the dark troopers in Mandalorian. They also had a similar activation situation where it took a little bit of time. You know, they had to power up, get, you know, that whole scene made me think straight up dark trooper.
I think you're right, but that's one of the main reasons why to me this was a season finale and not a series finale, because they left that unanswered, and then huge opportunity to really dig into what Project Necromancer was. They set it up.
Sure.
Hemlock was holding Nala Se at gunpoint saying explain it to me, and they cut away, and when they come back it's over. That was my big letdown. Don't get me wrong, I loved the episode. I feel great about it. I loved where the characters ended up. But those two things, the Dark Trooper and Project Necromancer going unanswered, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I could say that's fair. I do think, I don't know, I think they're going to dive into it more. In other
but
shows.
But when? Like, that was... This is... What, do you have a spin-off of a spin-off? Like, I don't know. This was
I don't even
time,
know. I don't even
opinion.
Think... I don't even think they're going to do a spin-off of a spin-off. I think what Dave is going to do and what he's going to bring in with some of these other shows that we're going to get eventually, I think, you know, what we're going to do is he's giving us kind of like bookends. All right? We've got The Rise of Skywalker with the end of Project Necromancer, you know, being Palpatine's okay. back. We've got kind of a middle phase with the Mandalorian right now, you know, kind of seeing a little bit of that with the cloning and Grogu and stuff like that. And then we've got the beginning of it, right? We've got the very beginning with Hemlock and Tantiss and all that fun stuff. And I think as we get some more of these shows here and there, he's going to start filling in some blanks. I don't think we're done with Rebellion era and Empire. I really don't think we're done with that. I know a lot of people say, well, this is, you know, it's a tapped out era. Let's explore new eras. And I agree. We should explore new eras. We're getting a lot of High Republic stuff. I think down the line, we're going to get some more Old Republic stuff. Like, no question about that. But that said, I think they are very much still going to explore a lot in the Empire Rebellion era. The New Republic era, obviously we're going to get some more stuff in that time frame with Mandalorian and other things going on. So I don't think we're done with Project Necromancer whatsoever.
I hope not.
But
I hope not.
What I'm hoping is it's just little pieces here and there. I don't want a full-on answer in a series. I don't.
I don't know. I do.
I would rather get little, because it's going to keep me wanting more about that. If I get one answer in one series, then anything else we get down the road that may refer to it, it's like, all right, well, I've already got my answer behind it. Man, give me a little bit at a time. I'm okay with that. Keep me wanting more.
I want new stuff though. Like that's kind of why I'm upset here, is I wanted the payoff now.
That's fair.
Cool, we're cool, good to go. Tell me a new story the next time. And that's still possible, right? Like I'm not sitting here, I'm not mad at Dave. I just
right.
it wasn't it it's one thing that I was hoping to have paid off. Everything else paid off, but those two things. Now the Dark Trooper thing, I don't think that was this show's to pay off. I'm okay with that being at another point. Another show can explain that,
sure,
because that doesn't belong to this show. But I feel like Project Necromancer does, and for that to not be paid off to me is a bit of a miss.
That's fair. I can give you that. I was pleasantly happy. Like, I was preparing to lose Wrecker. Wrecker's yeah. my favorite. I was preparing, and the fact that they had him survive towards it to the end, I was pretty. I did like the scene where Crosshair's reaching for the pistol blaster, and the clone X, you know, whatever trooper goes, you know, you got to be careful with your shooting hand. And then they go to like chop it off, and then they go straight into another scene before you see it. I love that.
But with that said, though, this was a pretty violent episode. Like, they showed stuff.
100%. And I really liked how what I was getting at earlier is phase one Dark Troopers are essentially what the Bad Batch would have been had they stayed with the Empire. Like, they were definitely, these were supposed to be the counterparts that, you know, could go toe to toe, and for the most part did go toe to toe with the Bad Batch. Thankfully, there was a clone uprising at Tantus that helped quite a bit in that regard, because I think one of the normies, the normal clones, is the one who helped them out when they had escaped from that prison and were fighting down in that little like maze looking training ground thing.
Yeah.
I think a normie is one of the guys that shot or blasted the Dark Trooper phase one, whatever.
How cool was all that?
Loved it, dude. All the fight scenes look, I loved seeing the clones and like Echo full on, like, hey, we're going to take care of these guys too. And like, they're like, yeah, we're here for you. I love it.
You don't have to fight, but we could use you.
Yep.
And they all stepped up. I thought that was cool.
Yep.
Very unexpected. I think that I think that a lot of people thought that that might be part of it, but I think most people expected there to be like Rex showing up.
Rex and like Cody and Wolf and like all these guys breaking them out while Bad Batch is focusing on Omega.
Yeah.
And they're nowhere to be found in this.
I like that though.
I do too, because it focused mostly on the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Anyway, real quick, bingo. What did you get for your bingo squares?
Let me pull it up. I got one, Wade, one square.
I got Emery helps Omega escape. I got, what else did I get other than what I've already got? Because there's another one, Clone Uprising. I did get that. I did not get any bingos. I got very close. I had one that the one row has Clone Uprising, Emery helps Omega escape, but it does not have that Tech survived. Tech did not survive his fall. So at least to current knowledge. Now, if we get something 2 years, 3 years down the road and it shows up Tech survived, this is going to stay on my phone just in case. I'm going to keep it. But I was really close this time. I was much closer with this bingo than I was with Mando bingo to get an actual bingo row or column or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So what did you get right?
Crosshair is welcomed back into the group. That's it. Nothing else was even close. The closest I got was that Omega gets tortured.
I mean, she kind of was.
That's what I'm saying. It was close, but it still is not.
I would have considered it torture if I were her age.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm trying to help you, man.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you had brought that to me, I probably would have said no way.
No, you would have said no for sure. There's no probably about it. It would have been a hard no for me.
Yeah, but you know, I do that because I know that you're going to get more squares than me. Like, I have to defend myself a little bit. And you know what? Have you ever seen King Curtis? Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a kid from Wife Swap. Remember that show?
Yes.
I'll send you the video. It's one that lives in my head 24/7. But the wife. So part of that show was the new wife would come in, and like a couple days she has to follow that family's rules, and then a couple days later she gets to set the rules. So it's always fine in the beginning, like she's the family's fine, the wife's miserable. Then it flips, family's miserable, wife's happy. In this episode with King Curtis, he's like an 8-year-old boy. They switch over and she makes him eat healthy food. And he doesn't want to eat healthy food. So she goes, all right, well, let's make a deal. And this kid goes, I don't want to make a deal. I keep losing at deals. And that's the kind of energy that I bring to this. I don't want to make bets. I keep losing at them.
We've only made one bet. You haven't lost more than one.
Yeah, I lost it by enough. And I was right. I thought that I did better. Like, I thought that my predictions were, I thought my strategy was better for this than it was for Mando Bingo, and it wasn't.
Oh, that's rough, man. That just goes to show that we really don't know what's to come.
No, I've always been bad at predictions.
Because I had a lot of hunter dies, wrecker dies, crosshair dies. I'm thinking, we're going to lose. And then we kept all three, and I'm like, I didn't get anything from all those squares.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. But it was fun. It's always fun. I love keeping track. And that's the thing. Like, obviously, we've talked with RFB about it, and we've talked amongst ourselves. If you go in expecting something and it doesn't happen and you're a sourpuss about it, you probably should just leave the fandom. Like, realistically, we don't want that kind of negativity around us.
Yeah.
We go in doing this for fun. We go in saying, hey, I wonder if I can predict what's going to happen, what's in the mind of the creators. And I get pleasantly surprised often, you know, where I go into something and I'm like, holy crap, I was way off there. Like, yep. And some of them I just make for fun. Like the Zillow Beast Eats Hemlock was one of my squares. I only used it for one because I knew it was very unlikely, you know, but it could have happened because the Zillow Beast did get released. So, you know, stuff like that I think is always fun to do as long as you don't hold on to it as like this, you know, if you've got a $50,000 bet on your bingo sheet, well, you're not betting with me because I don't have that kind of money. But, you know, I can understand why you'd be frustrated about not winning. But I would recommend you don't make those kinds of bets. You know, a simple $25 bet, sure, why not?
But I have a theory about the segment of the fandom that gets pissed off when it doesn't go their way. I think that in their past lives, they were meteorologists.
Probably.
Yeah. Got to predict stuff, got to get it right. Whole life depends on it.
I believe that
100%. Yeah.
All right, moving on. So we had Bad Batch on Wednesday get released. Mm-hmm. Super heartwarming. 2 days later, 25th anniversary. I mean, this was a great weekend. I just want to point that out to everyone. I've been so hyped for this week. Like, nothing could get me down. I had some awful customers this week. I don't even remember them because it was just like every day I got closer and closer. I look forward to this. I mean, when May 4th lands on a weekday, I take that day off from work and the kids stay home with me. Like, it's that kind of day to me. Now, it fell on a Saturday this week, so I didn't get to do that. But May 3rd, we had the re-release of The Phantom Menace for the 25th anniversary with an elongated trailer for The Acolyte at the end. Going on The Phantom Menace, you went to see it Friday night with mm-hmm. Zach.
That's right.
And I got to see it last night with Penny. And I have to say, I am so looking forward to Attack of the Clones and then Revenge of the Sith when they get released. Cause I am like, I'm so bummed. I was bummed out knowing that I missed seeing it in theaters when it came out. And so I think Disney is doing the smartest thing by re-releasing it in theaters. I mean, they're going to make a killing off of it. They didn't really have to do anything except say, hey, yeah, run this film, you know, in theaters. And it definitely, just like with Empire and Return of the Jedi, it changed my perspective on the movie. And you're looking at this giant screen. I see details that I'm not seeing on, you know, my tiny TV. You know, I noticed when Jabba, you know, during the Boonta Eve, the pod race, when Jabba and Gardula start, you know, wriggling their way to the front of the podium, over to the right, they've got one of his slaves is wearing Leia's slave outfit. I had never noticed that detail before. that was so cool to see. And obviously there are little Easter eggs here and there that I had already, I was looking for because I'd seen them in like articles here and there, stuff like that. I'm trying to remember, what was the other thing that I texted you guys about that I was like, I didn't realize this, or let me see if I can pull it up. Cause there was something, there were two things that I remember texting you guys like right after watching the movie.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was either.
Where it was like, oh, I can't believe I noticed, I haven't noticed this before.
But I felt the same way though. I noticed that as well. And I never thought to even look around. Like when I'm watching it at home, I'm looking at Jabba, right? It's kind of a quick mm-hmm. scene, but yep. you know, on the big screen, you look around, it's just Star Wars was meant for the theater.
Yep. So the other thing I remember pointing out was Obi-Wan's Padawan braid. At one point in the film, it had been switched to the wrong side. So he typically wears it on the right side of his head. It's tucked right behind the ear here. And what, you know, I looked throughout the film to see, because once I noticed that switch, I looked to see, all right, well, is the braid like somewhere in the middle of the back of the head and it just happens to be resting on one shoulder? But no, it is tucked behind that ear, but there's a scene where it's actually on the left side. And I thought, oh, that kind of drove my OCD nuts a little bit. Just something little that was overlooked. But the notes that I took, Starfighter battles, pod racing, and Duel of the Fates, so much better in the theater. And, you know, obviously, like, Duel of the Fates is one of my favorite. I think everyone's one of their favorites in terms of lightsaber battles. Between the music and the action, fantastic. Obi-Wan Kenobi got kicked in the face 3 times. I don't know how he managed to do it, but he got kicked in the face 3 times by Maul. Stupid. But it happened. Maul's just that cool. But, oh, such a good scene. And then, you know, hearing the explosions and the sounds of those sleek N1s flying by. Oh, it was beautiful. And the pod racing. Dude, I always thought, okay, pod racing's cool, but it's intergalactic NASCAR or Formula One. I've never been, like, big into racing to begin with. You know, I think loud cars, fast cars are cool, but they're just not really my thing. Pod racing, it felt so different, especially when you see that first person view from the pod itself. You know, you're looking out and you're seeing some of these angles where the engines are going around curves and, you know, you're passing another pod. Oh, and it just made me want to play Racer Revenge, you know, from my PlayStation 2 days. Yeah. It was awesome viewing that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that part, the pod racing, was what was elevated the most for me by the theater experience. Now, I did kind of have a negative theater experience. Like, the theater I went to was not very great. The sound system wasn't that great. It still was cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad I did it, but I'll pick a different theater next time. But the pod racing was electric.
Absolutely. And I will tell you this. I loved sitting next to the people at the theater. So we went to the Cinemark Bistro in Raleigh. Yeah. I loved sitting next to the folks that we were sitting next to because they were probably either our age or just a little younger. And when Jar Jar would come onto the screen, they were laughing with him. Like, when he was doing his goofy stuff, they were laughing. They were enjoying it. I'm thinking, they're my generation. They're the generation who grew up loving this, thinking Jar Jar is fun, and unfortunately didn't have the access to online social media for the longest time like the adults did, who really gave, you know, the actor Ahmed Best a lot of crap and a lot of grief for that character. And it's like, now we've got that voice where we can say, no, we actually really love. And I think that's where the shift has happened. You know, the more I think about it and the more I look at it, the shift toward, you know, from hating this character to loving it is that now those of us who grew up as kids thinking Jar Jar is kind of goofy and fun are on social media and we're able to give him that praise and love. And it's a shame that it had to come so late, but, you know, I'm glad to see that it is there. And she's sitting there, like the gal in the couple was sitting there and she was laughing. She was like quoting him, like copying, like as he would say a phrase. And I thought, yes, these are my kind of people. Like, we're sitting here and they weren't the only ones laughing at Jar Jar. You know, when Jar Jar did something goofy or funny, it was constant. So
my experience was the same.
Great experience.
I had a group next to me row in front of me to the left, and it was two guys probably my age, but it could have been a little bit younger. I was very surprised that there were a lot of, all ages were in the theater, older people, younger people. But I remember particularly seeing those people that were in front of me. They were cracking up at Jar Jar. And
yep.
I've never hated Jar Jar. I've certainly never loved him, though. And I even found myself like really, really enjoying him during this viewing and laughing. And I think that was in part for the theater experience. I could mm-hmm. understand more of what he was saying. Not that yep. he is too difficult to understand, but you miss certain things that he says, like little offhand comments or what I noticed
sure.
that were pretty funny. And I
absolutely
his character was elevated for sure.
I loved it. Loved everything about it. Like I said, I cannot wait for Attack of the Clones.
For me, the experience with Zach was cool. Mm-hmm. Like we've watched that movie, but I sent it in our group chat. Like the next day, yesterday, he was walking around the house going yippee, just like Anakin does.
Anakin.
And I was like,
he's that perfect age because he is Anakin's age.
Yep. So I was like, Zach, you never really said that before. You sound just like Anakin. And he goes, yeah, I thought it was cool. I like saying it. It's fun.
Proud dad moment.
Yeah, that was cool. And while we're talking about Anakin, shout out Jake Lloyd. I didn't realize how much dialogue he had in that movie. Mm-hmm. And he did a really good job. He definitely seemed like a confident kid.
Yeah.
Like how a confident kid would act.
Absolutely. So after The Phantom Menace, we got the extended Acolyte trailer. How did you mm-hmm. feel about that?
Well, first of all, I thought it was going to be before the movie. So I was watching those trailers like, all right, we're one more closer. And then it didn't come. And then it said after
right.
the credits.
Stick around.
So we sat through. Never knew that Darth Vader's breathing played at the end of the credits. I don't know.
I never noticed that before.
That was cool. But I loved it. I thought it was a cool trailer. I'm not more excited than I was before, but that's because I'm really excited already. It definitely, I think people are right that this is going to be like a mystery whodunit mm-hmm. type thing, which is going to be cool. It's going to be different. The choreography looked really, really cool. It looked natural. The lightsabers look cool, which that's kind of
absolutely.
A weird note, but I kind of have felt like in certain projects, not all of them, but in certain projects, they've looked kind of dull.
Sure.
So they look cool in the trailer. So I'm still really, really excited about it. And I'm glad we got that trailer.
Yeah. For me, it didn't do anything except make me more excited about it.
I mean,
that was the extent of it. It was nice to get a little bit more. It was mostly action, so it wasn't a lot of dialogue to begin with. So, you know, it really wasn't anything crazy, but it was fun to see it and definitely well worth it.
Yeah.
The other thing I did mean to mention about The Phantom Menace, two things. One, Palpatine. I paid way more attention to him in this film than I have any other previous watchings or viewings of The Phantom Menace. It's really cool to look at his mannerisms and listen to his voice when he's
Agreed.
Specifically Senator Palpatine, then turns into Chancellor Palpatine. And especially, you know, like the foreboding when, you know, they're doing the pyre for Qui-Gon and Mace and Yoda are having that conversation. And Mace is like, you know, but which one did we kill, the master or the apprentice?
Right.
And then I never thought about it when it immediately pans over and focuses on Palpatine and his like side silhouette and everything. And it kind of gives you that view of like how his face is shaped compared to what we see under the hood with Palpatine, you know, in some of those side views. And it's like, oh, if you've never seen any of the other films, if this is the first film you're watching, boy, are you in for a ride. And it just makes the Revenge of the Sith that much more interesting when that reveal comes. So awesome. It was fantastic. The other thing that I wanted to mention real quick, in the Jedi Council chamber, when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are there, and then, of course, at the end when all the Jedi Masters, council members are sitting around the pyre, looking at all the faces and the characters there, without having watched things like Clone Wars, you know, you don't get a good idea for, you know, some of them don't even show up in Clone Wars. They're not around by that point. Or at least they're not on the council at that time. But some of them, you're like, oh, I don't really know hardly anything about these guys. They're just council members. Maybe they have a line or two throughout the film. Like Ki-Adi Mundi, he had a couple lines. And, you know, there really aren't a lot of lines for most of the other council members outside of Mace and Yoda. But the Living Force, having read that book, going into this movie viewing, oh, it just made me appreciate each and every member on the council that much more, because I knew a bit about each of their characters. So definitely well worth watching that. Moving on, we had May the 4th yesterday. Big Star Wars Celebration Day. Happy May the 4th to you, Kevin, and Revenge of the Sith, since today is technically Cinco de Mayo. But May the 4th was yesterday. Such a fun day. What did you guys do to celebrate?
Well, I kind of did my May 4th stuff today, because yesterday I spent most of my day, I went to go pick up a lawnmower up in Vermont. Took me a while. And then I spent the day trying to get it to start. So I didn't really have time to do much. I watched two episodes of Tales, but today was really when I dug in. I finished Tales, watched an episode of Visions, and played a bunch of Battlefront Classic Collection with Zach.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun doing that. Listen, I see what you're trying to do. You're going to have to wait. This is my turn. You will have your turn.
No. Just getting prepared.
For those listening, Wade is holding up his thing that he got yesterday that I won't steal your thunder and say what it is. But anyways, what Zach and I played split screen on the campaign. And we did Rise of the Empire, and we had a lot of fun with that. And this kid's trying to skip the cutscenes, and I'm like, hold on, stop. This is like the best part.
This is like important. Yeah. Like, the dialogue is awesome.
Yeah. And he did pretty good. Like, we were co-oping it and really tag teaming stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And then with Visions, so he hasn't watched, he watched some of Volume 2 with me. He hasn't watched any of Volume 1. And he started it, and he's like, oh, I don't really like this. I don't really like the black and white. And I said, hold on. Just wait. It's just a style of animation. It's really cool. Just watch it. 5 minutes in, he's laser focused on it. It was so funny. And there's a Trandoshan in it's one of the characters. He looks at him and goes, oh, that guy looks like Bossk. And I'm like,
you get it. You get it, yes. Kid.
Even if you were wrong, just saying that it looks like Bossk.
Yep.
I've won. You are mine. So cool. So we had a fun afternoon today, a day late. Awesome. But yeah.
Hey, it's not a day late. Today's Revenge of the Sith. It counts.
Revenge of the Fifth.
No. That's right. Revenge of the Fifth. I think I've been saying Sith. It's Revenge of the Fifth. Which is that's fitting, because you are more dark side empire-y than I am. That's a good point.
Maybe I'll have to do that in the future.
Yeah, the fifth is really your thing, you know?
All right. But,
so we spent the day. Well, first thing, I woke up first thing in the morning, and I tried staying up till 3. I made it to like 2:40, and I was like, I'm nodding. I'm dozing. I was watching. So the night before, I was watching the Kenobi documentaries, the extras. Yep. And then after I got through all the extras, I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go back and watch the show again. So I started watching the show, and I'm like, I bet I can watch all of it leading up to the release of Tales of the Empire. And I was correct. I ended it just short of the series finishing and Tales of the Empire coming on. But I was nodding in the last like 20 minutes of watching it. And I was like, I'm not going to make it. There's no way. I'll be up early in the morning. It'll be fine. I just need a power nap. So I went to go lay my head down thinking I'm going to wake up in 20 minutes. It'll be fine. I'm going to get up and watch it in viewing. I didn't. I didn't get to wake up till like 5. And then at 5 in the morning, I was like, oh, crap, I slept in. You know, it's only 3 hours later. But
you're nuts. Do you know that, Wade? You're nuts.
I was so excited for it, man. And it paid off. It was well worth it. I mean, good. I will say well worth it. I knew I was going to have a busy day yesterday and that I wouldn't get a chance to watch it unless I watched it sometime earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
So I did get through it. Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. But kids woke up. Got them ready. We got out the door. We went to Dunkin' for breakfast, a good New Englander tradition, which I am not, but I figured that would give me a connection to you besides Star Wars.
Definitely.
So we got Dunkin' because Gene loves donuts. It was not very good, unfortunately. The donuts were good, but everything else was really bad at this Dunkin'. So we won't go back because usually
I would have told you to avoid it. I would have told you to avoid it.
I was.
You got to get it up here. Yeah. Every time I ever went outside of New England, it was average or below average.
But all that said, I did enjoy a couple of donuts. I went off diet. I've been off diet this weekend and really the past week, but it's another topic. Anyway. We checked out the new Bricks and Minifig store that just opened up in North Raleigh. And that's a big deal for me because we haven't been able to talk about it yet because we haven't been able to post an episode. But I have been potentially given an offer to be a general manager of a Bricks and Minifig store in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And essentially, what a Bricks and Minifigs is, if you aren't familiar, it's a buy-sell trade store for Lego. So they have a Lego license to be able to sell brand new Lego products. So they get them wholesale, just like the Lego store would. But on top of that, they also sell a lot of retired sets and used sets, and they do buy-sell trade. So if you've got a set, you're like, hey, I don't have room for this new set I want. I'm going to downsize. You take it to Bricks and Minifigs. They'll evaluate it, make sure it's complete, see if you've got like the instructions and the box and all the pieces there. And then they'll give you an offer for it, and they'll either give you in-store credit or they'll give you cash. But super, super cool. I love these stores. And when I was in Arizona, I always wanted to open one up, and I had been in the talks with the CEO of the company to go through the paperwork and everything to start the application process. COVID hit, that kind of went to, you know, the wayside. And then we moved out here and I just hadn't followed up on it since then. But then this offer kind of just came out of nowhere and was dropped on my lap, and they were like, hey, we know you're big into Lego. And I was like, yeah, you have no idea. Anyway, got to the store, waited in line for about half an hour. No, an hour and a half. I take that back. It wasn't half an hour. It was an hour and a half. We got there at 11, which was opening time. We didn't get into the store until about 12:30. And it was a huge line.
That's crazy.
Now, they did have people dressed up there, which was kind of cool. They had a Darth Vader and Stormtrooper. The costumes weren't awesome. They weren't perfect. But the kids loved them, and that's what really matters. Had some great conversations with other folks in line that were waiting for certain things. Then we get in, and it's like, oh, the amount of Star Wars sets that they had. And so many of them I looked at, and I was like, I used to have that one in my collection. Because for those who have known me for a while, you may have seen like my Bearded Brick Instagram account. And I used to be really, really crazy into Lego. I mean, I had hundreds and hundreds of sets. And then I got rid of them when we were pregnant with Gene. So I kept like a handful of them. But anyway, I've slowly been kind of rebuilding and being selective. But this is the Holy Grail set that I've always wanted and just never, you know, spent money on. But this right here, it's kind of hard to see. It's huge. That is the UCS Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi Starfighter. And I have wanted this set forever. And I mean, literally forever. They had it on sale for like $300, which if you go on eBay, most of the used sets unboxed are around $300. This set is still factory sealed, unopened at $300. So most of them that you find on eBay are $400, $500, $600, depending on the condition of the box, if they're factory sealed. So I bought it. I was so excited to see it. And
that's cool.
When I was a little kid, probably about 8 or 9, my best friend in elementary school, one of my best friends, I should say, her older brother was like 5 or 6 years ahead of us. And I remember going over to her house and we would play with his action figures. He had tons of like Power Rangers action figures and stuff like that. And whenever we went in his room to get them, he had this set sitting on his bedside table built and just on display. And I remember looking at it and going, whoa, that's so cool. That's the Jedi Starfighter. And he's like, yeah, but it's not a play model. This is a big kid model for display. And I was like, why? You know, like, it's a Lego set. You're supposed to play with them. It's a starship. And he's like, yeah, but this one's just, it's not, that's not what it's for. This is different. This is for display. And I was like, all right, well, now I get it. You know, I 100% understand, especially not wanting an 8-year-old to play with it. But so this has been like my holy grail ever since I saw it. Cause I always thought the Delta 7 and Delta 7B Aether Sprite was one of the slickest starfighters. And then of course you have the Jedi Starfighter game that had it in it. And the original Battlefront game had these starfighters in it. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, really, really, really loved that ship. So I picked it up, and a couple other little sets here and there that I wanted. So fantastic day at Bricks and Minifigs. If you guys live in the Raleigh or Triangle area, highly recommend going and checking them out. It's Bricks and Minifigs, North Raleigh. Fantastic shop. So we got done with that. We went over to the mall, had lunch, and then went to Ultimate Comics in Crabtree Mall because it's also free comic book day, which I love comics. And I thought, you know, when they do free comic book day, they're just giving you a free comic. No, they had packs of comics to give out for free where you get 5 or 6 different comics in it. And they had a variety. Like, they didn't have any where it was like, hey, you're getting all Marvel or you're getting all Star Wars or anything. So I got like a Transformers, a Marvel, a DC, a Star Wars, and I forget what the other one was. But I got 5 different comics, and one of them was Star Wars. It's got cool cover art. It's got half of the face of Vader under the helmet, and then half of the face being Luke. And then it was a really cool cover. So I got that. And then Gene got a comic book pack, and then they had a bunch of people dressed up. So you had like Deadpool and Star-Lord and some of these other characters from Marvel there, Moon Knight, a lot of cosplayers there for pictures. So that was really cool. And then, of course, we went to the Lego store just to see if they had anything. Now, they always run specials from like May 1st to May 5th. And if you spend a certain amount with the Lego store, you get like certain freebies on top of everything. So, of course, I have to because I want those freebies. And so I did, but I had ordered mine online on May 1st. So I didn't have anything that I needed when I went into the Lego store. But it was really cool to go there. I was mostly there to take pictures and kind of see the layout of the store because my task, if I take this job, is to kind of design the layout of the store how I want it to look. Because I don't want it to look like your traditional Bricks and Minifigs store. But anyway, so we did that. Then we drove home, dropped the kids off with the babysitter, got some Mexican food for dinner, and went to see The Phantom Menace. And then we got home at like midnight. So well, well worth it. It was a fantastic May the 4th. And then for today, we went back by Bricks and Minifigs North Raleigh, just because I wanted to see what they looked like with less people in there. So we went this afternoon, and it was cool because I got to actually talk with the owner a little bit more in person than I did on Saturday. So that was a lot of fun, but well worth it. It was a day well spent. I also picked up a little X-Wing today. So I was really excited about that. I wanted the X-Wing with Luke in it and everything. So, fun weekend. Tiring weekend.
Sounds like it.
Exhausted. Very full weekend. We have a couple minutes left. Kevin, what were your thoughts on Tales of the Empire?
Well, for those that don't know, the reason why we haven't covered the trailer or anything about Tales is not because we haven't had episodes out, but it's because I have not. I chose to go in fresh. Didn't watch anything, stayed away from anything I could on Twitter about the show. I wanted to go in not knowing anything, and boy, was that the right move. I had no idea who the characters were that they were going to focus on. So I truly got a first viewing. Everything was fresh. And right out of the gate, I'll tell you, I still think Tales of the Jedi is better. But not by much. Mm. I think in our chat, I gave Empire an 8.7 out of 10.
Okay.
And the reason is only because I think that Jedi told a story that we've all wanted for a long time. So I think that that gives it the edge. But for this one, I think that the level of storytelling is equal to, maybe even better than what we got in Jedi. so cool to learn more about Morgan Elsbeth and the path to the dark side, fear, anger, hate. And, you know, just that linear storytelling and how each episode displayed that trait in her was so cool. The fact that it was her, I thought was cool. It just adds depth to the content that we've already gotten in, you know, Mandalorian, as Alex noted, the Jedi, that episode. And then, of course, her character in Ahsoka. It all makes a little bit more sense. And then the second half was what I resonated more with. Mm-hmm. I thought that getting to see what became of Barriss Offee was cool. And I was surprised by the direction. I expected it to go a different way. Mm-hmm. I thought that she was going to become an Inquisitor and then dig into that. But how much cooler of a story is it that she flirted with it and came out of it? It shows that maybe she wasn't the bad guy all along. She fell into some darkness, but her heart was pure. The whole, like, her intentions
were right.
It was in the right spot.
Yep.
Yeah. So just very profound storytelling. And I'm very impressed with it. I'm going to watch it over and over and over again.
Absolutely.
I continue to be amazed by the level that the production quality, the animation of these shows.
Yeah.
There was one scene with Morgan Elsbeth specifically where if you look too quickly, you think it's real.
Right.
Like, you think it's a scene out of Mandalorian. So I'm really happy with it. It lived up to what I hoped. And I hope that they continue this line of stories.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was I liked how it was kind of the flip side of what we got to, you know, Tales of the Jedi, where we've got one character who's pure good, stays good, and we've got one character that goes from good to bad.
Yeah.
And then on this end, we've got Morgan, who I don't know that she was bad to begin with, but, you know, she was definitely dark side bad to an extent, and then really digs into that, just like Ahsoka digs into light. And then you've got the Barriss Offee, who does kind of the reverse of Count Dooku. You know, she's got hey, the darkness is there. She's going to kill her fellow Jedi to survive, that kind of thing. And then she eventually gets to this point where she's like, that's not who I am. That's not what I believe. Not me. So really, really enjoyed it. You know, we may cover that a little more in detail with some breakdowns, you know, later on. But what a great way to spend the weekend. I mean, totally. I can't think of a better way to spend a Star Wars weekend than
it was
Star
an event. Wars.
It was. Cool. I mean, this was well worth it. Super excited. Absolutely loved it. Kind of coming down from a high now that the weekend's about to be over. I feel like the weekend just flew by way too quickly. We need a Star Wars week. That's what we really need. That's all we have for you guys tonight. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. It was definitely a fun one. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit. Send us an email at recordsoftherepublic@gmail.com. Leave us a review if you get a chance and you feel so inclined. If you like listening to my voice and Kevin's voice and Alex's voice, let us know. And if you don't, just, you know, don't say anything. That's okay. We would appreciate that. No, but we love you guys. We always loved chatting Star Wars and other nerdy stuff. But definitely hit us up, give us a follow, check us out. We just love sharing Star Wars with you guys. As always, may the Force be with you. And remember, this is the way.